Money, Riches, and Wealth is sponsored by the Financial Consulate. Say you don't need no diamond rings, and I'll be satisfied. Tell me that you want the kind of things the money just can't buy. I don't care too much for money. Money can buy me love. This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for Money, Riches, and Wealth. Here's your host, Drew Tignanelli.
This is Drew Tignanelli here with Money, Riches, and Wealth. Here with my co-host, Michael P. McCarthy.
Good evening.
How are you, sir?
I'm doing pretty good. Yourself?
Yep.
I know that. You've been with you all day.
As irritating as I can be, you've been with me all day, and you still came to the radio
all
show
day
tonight.
And some of the night, soon to be.
Anyway, we're on an open show tonight. Last week we were talking only about elder care. This week we're talking about anything. So if you want to continue the elder care conversation, we can continue to do that. If you want to talk about Social Security, you got a Social Security question, we can deal with that. You want to talk about Medicare? Well, we can talk about that if you'd like to. If you want to talk about IRAs or Roth IRAs or 401ks or investments, why'd the market go down today? You know, because there were more sellers than buyers today, Mikey.
Today, yeah.
Today. And that's the way, you know, you can ask any question that you want to. 410-922-6680. 410-922-6680. If you want to call in and ask a question that will guide the conversation in a direction that is most helpful to you to answer the question that's most on your mind. And that's what makes the open show so fun, is that we aren't just talking about a topic that we're hoping people are finding benefit out of, but we're answering a very specific question for a very specific person who says, if you answer this, this will be helpful to me. And there may be somebody out there thinking, I wish I would ask that question. Let me listen to this answer, because that's the question I wanted to ask too. And so, you know, that's the cool thing. When you call in and ask a question, there's usually somebody out there that wants to hear the answer because they were thinking the same thing. And, you know, the concept of the Financial Consulate, Mike is the chief executive officer of the company. I am the chairman of the company, and we are a fee-only fiduciary advisors. And we do this show to demonstrate what we believe a true professional financial advisor should do, with as little economic bias as possible, eliminating it or at least disclosing it into the fullest detail as possible, so that you know you're getting nothing but what is in your best interest. And that's what the concept is of a true professional advisor. Unfortunately, Mikey, the industry doesn't operate under that standard always.
Yep.
If at all.
Absolutely.
Matter of fact, they fight it more than they...
It's too bad, but at least we get to differentiate ourselves.
That's true. We're going to go to Rose in Essex. Rose, how can we help you?
I just have a question. I'm kind of a little confused. I'm 63 years old.
So am I.
And I'm still working.
Okay.
And I want to collect my Social Security, because I'm afraid it's not going to be around too much longer, so I'd like to...
But I'll bet you're making a reasonable amount of money, aren't you?
I am, but I'm thinking about cutting my hours back so I can collect my Social Security.
You'd have to cut it back all the way to about $19,000 a year if you don't want to lose any of it. So do you think you could cut back that low?
I'm just afraid if I wait much longer, there's not going to be anything left.
Well, let me give you my take on that, Rose, okay? And here it is. The people that run Social Security print the money of the United States of America. Did you hear what I said? In other words, the people who go around saying that Social Security's going down the tube, Social Security this, it's going to go, you know, it's going to this and that, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, you know, they're the same people that don't understand that the Social Security system is run by the people that print the money of the United States of America, and Russia and Argentina, who are, in my opinion, two economic basket cases, still make good on every dollar of their senior Social Security promises they ever made. And so I'm not worried about Social Security. I'll give you another interesting one. 10 years ago, when I was doing this show, people were writing articles about Medicare going bankrupt in 2015, 2016, 2017, 2018. And now nobody seems to be writing any articles about Medicare going bankrupt anymore. So it doesn't mean that there aren't any, but go ahead, Mikey.
Well, what I was going to add to that, though, is that people's concerns about Social Security, like anything, there is always somewhat of a thread of truth in there. But the thread of truth for Social Security, Drew, if you would agree, is the fact that in the future, as they do try to shore up the budget with Social Security, most likely they will take the means testing further and further reduce benefits to wealthier recipients.
And they do that in a obscure way. They don't do it outright. What they do is they tax Social Security. They're very sneaky how they do that. So, Rose, my point is, do not collect Social Security early. Do not worry about it. It'll be there. And collect it when you're 66 and 6 months, when you hit your full retirement age. What month of 1957 were you born in?
July.
I was born in July, too. Are we twins?
In the club.
We must be.
Rose, are you Italian?
I'm not.
Oh,
What day in July? Come on, you got me going now. What day in July?
The 12th.
You're older than I am. I was born on the 31st.
So, okay.
You remember now to send me a gift on the 31st. So in January of 2024, actually in November of 23, you sign up for Social Security to start paying out in January of 2024. That's when you hit your full retirement age and you can make an unlimited amount of income without any, payback. And I think you're never going to be dissatisfied. If you are, you feel free. I'm going to be doing the show for many more years. You feel free to call them up and say, you owe me because, buddy, I was planning to take my money earlier and you told me not to, and now look what happened. You know?
Now, who should take their money at the earlier age, 62, as soon as they can?
Somebody who's medically has terminal.
Yeah, so if your lifetime doesn't look like it's got much time left in it, that's when to take it early.
And we're assuming that you're very healthy because you sound like a very healthy person.
Pretty healthy. Yeah.
All right. Well, you enjoy your birthday on the 12th there, my friend, and I've got to run.
Okay. You enjoy yours too. Thank you. Take care.
Goodbye. We're on an open show. Rebecca, I'll be right with you after this pause with traffic. If you want to call in while we're on this pause, 410-922-6680. 410-922-6680. Take it away, traffic. Hi, this is Drew Tignanelli of the Financial Consulate, saying a financial advisor must have a tax planning passion. I'm appealing only to those with a net worth of more than $5 million or with taxable income of over $400,000. You are the target for higher and higher taxes. If you're in this elite club, you can no longer afford to have a financial advisor that is not passionate to minimize taxes. I'm appealing to you with income over $400,000 or a net worth greater than $5 million because you are the target and need the Financial Consulate's passion to minimize income taxes and estate taxes. Call to set up your introductory meeting, 410-823-7283 or 410-823-SAVE or online, financialconsulate.com. If your taxable income is $400,000 or more, or your net worth is over $5 million, you are the target. So call to begin your tax plan, 410-823-7283, or online, financialconsulate.com.
Back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
We're back, Money, Riches, and Wealth, and we got a full board of calls here, and I'm going to put my glasses on even, Chris, for this because I don't want to say somebody's name wrong. Anyway, we're here on an open show. We're going to go right to the phone since they are jammed up here right now. Rebecca in Pennsylvania, how can we help you?
Oh, fine.
Fine. Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I've inherited a Pioneer fund, and I was reading the prospectus, and I don't have a problem with it investing in mutual funds, but it's also kind of heavy on student loans. Can you explain to me what will happen? I think Biden's administration is like thinking of giving forgiveness about student loans, which I don't have children, so I can't say it's a good or a bad thing, but I just wonder how it's going to affect my mutual fund.
Well, that's a very difficult question for me to answer, and let me explain. So Pioneer is a mutual fund group. In other words, they create mutual funds. So this mutual fund over here might be 100% U.S. large cap stocks, and this mutual fund over here for Pioneer might be a bond Pioneer mutual fund. And therefore, in that bond mutual fund, it might have some Sallie Mae loans or something of that sort. So the answer to your question is, Rebecca, you would have to understand what types of student bonds do they have in your bond portfolio? How big a holding is student loans in your bond portfolio? And then and realize that the only student loans they're thinking of forgiving is under certain circumstances with certain income. But yes, it can affect certain bond funds. They could end up, and you know, normally what's going to happen is the federal government has to make good on those loans when they default. In other words, if the government forgives them, then the government also has to pay off, because that's the deal as to why banks or investment companies made good on those or lent the money, because the student wasn't the guarantee. The federal government was the guarantee. So when the federal government allows the students to default and get out, it means the federal government's paying those loans off. And
right,
so,
yeah, I understand what you're saying, because I knew about mortgages as a tangible, you know, property, but with student loans, what do you take? I mean, you can't, there's nothing tangible. But
Well, keep in mind also with mortgages and the tangible property, you also have Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac guaranteeing it. And so the money is still going to be made good by Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac if it's a conforming mortgage that Fannie Mae or Freddie Mac guaranteed and so forth. So, okay. But that's your situation. I wouldn't worry about it, is
right.
My point.
You're,
that's
you're
what
better than a glass of wine. You know that?
There you go. I like a good glass of wine. Take
He's going to put that
Rebecca.
On the website.
Take care. Okay. Good question. We're going to Jim in Ellicott City. Jim, how can we help you?
Yes, hi. I was recently talking to one of my friends. We both have investments over at Vanguard, and longtime investors, in my case, 100% mutual funds.
Okay.
And we were. It was being suggested to him by one of the advisors at Vanguard to convert all of his mutual funds to ETFs. So first question.
Well, there's two issues there you have to be very careful about, okay? And that is when he, quote unquote, converts his mutual funds to ETFs, it will be considered a taxable liquidation of those funds.
Whoa.
And so if he's got a lot of gains in his mutual funds, he would be ridiculous to do it, because he's probably got index funds.
Yeah.
And so if he's got all index funds, the only difference between the mutual fund and the ETF is going to be the fees that are charged. And the ETFs are going to be slightly lower charges, probably. And But when I say slightly, I'm talking about two basis points, maybe three.
Yeah, it's very close. I did a comparison on some of mine, yes.
So what I would ask the Vanguard people is, if you can move me tax-free from my mutual fund to your ETF without it being considered a liquidation, then great. But if you can't do it, don't you even dare suggest it again, or I'm going to fire you. That's what I would say.
Yeah, my friend said that they were talking about moving it in kind.
You can possibly do that, okay? There is a theoretical possibility that they can do an in-kind transfer from the Vanguard S&P 500 mutual fund to the Vanguard ETF S&P 500. And if they do, and it is done as an in-kind transfer, there is a possibility that it could be tax-free.
So the real reason for doing this, so it was claimed, is for lower taxes, more efficient.
It is more efficient in an ETF than it is in a mutual fund. And the reason is because when they change the index, the mutual fund does have to report some sales and capital gain distributions, et cetera, et cetera. It's rare, mm-hmm. but it does happen occasionally, et cetera, et cetera. The ETF basically can move a stock in and out without being a tax consequence when the S&P 500 changes. So there is some slight advantages to the ETFs, mm-hmm. but the number one thing you want to say is it better be proven and written down that this will not be considered a taxable transfer to go from this index as a mutual fund to the same index as an ETF. And if you can assure me of that, I am all mm-hmm. in with you.
Yeah, they recommended if they do that, they would do it slowly over a period of time. So that kind of makes me wonder
if they're
really
doing it slowly over a period of time, then I'm going to assume that it's going to be a taxable transaction.
Yep. I'm in sync with you. That's what I think.
That's the key. He's absolutely right. The ETF in the long run is going to be better, but it's not like it's a dramatic difference, but it will be better.
Mm-hmm.
If it's a tax-free move, I do it. If it's a taxable situation you're going to control over 10, 20 years or 5 years or whatever, I'm not doing it. I'm just going to sit. I'm just going to stay where I'm at. And then any new money I'm putting in, I just continue to buy the ETFs from that point forward.
Okay. Yep.
All right.
Good sense. Thank you very much.
All right. Good question. Excellent question. I hadn't heard that Vanguard was promoting that right now.
Yeah.
Lila in Dundalk, how can we help you?
Hi. I'm concerned about something that I had heard from a few friends, and they were suggesting that the Biden administration is trying to make a proposal for something in regards to parents' homes and their inherited children called a step-up basis. Have you heard anything about that?
Yeah, so for the average person, what Biden has talked about, now keep in mind, he's a long way from talking to actually implementing. So that's number one. But what he's talked about is not going to affect 99% of the people on this call, okay? I mean, on this show, listening to this show right now. So what he's saying is that when you inherit assets from a deceased relative and it's appreciated in value, so your parents bought your house for $1,000 and it's worth $1 million today, in the current tax law you get a step up in basis. So when I inherit it and it's worth $1 million, my new tax basis in that house is $1 million,
which means if you sell it for $1 million you don't have any tax on it.
Right. So if I sell it for $1 million after my parents die, I have absolutely no capital gains tax. Even if it went up to $10 million and I sell it, I have no capital gains tax because I get a step up in basis. And that's true with all things. And so Bill Gates, if Bill Gates dies and leaves his Microsoft stock to his children or his wife or whoever, they can sell it all 100% tax-free the day after he dies. And that's called a step up in basis, okay? Now, here's what Biden's proposing. He's proposing that you only get like $1 million of step up, and therefore the Bill Gates who leaves $100 billion worth of Microsoft to his children and his wife don't get the elimination of their tax step up in basis and elimination of the capital gains tax. It would carry forward to the next generation and so forth. And that's I don't agree with it, but this is his proposal. But you can see why the average person who has $50,000, $100,000, $500,000 of gains in their houses or a few stocks and so forth is typically not going to get hurt by this.
Yeah.
So my point is, Lila, is that there's truth to what they're saying, but it's not going to hit the average Joe. At least the average Joe. How do you like that? That's
average
pretty
Joe,
cute.
Yeah.
It's not going to hit the average Joe. All right?
Okay, so somebody was worried. They're like, okay, if my mom and dad bought their house for $40,000, 50 some 60 years later, the house is worth $200,000. if I sell the house for $205,000, they thought the proposal was that Biden would make the inherited children pay the taxes from the baseline of what they originally purchased.
They'll only pay taxes on the $5,000, even under Joe's proposal. They're only going to pay taxes on the $5,000. Okay.
Oh, that's
so the people that are making, who are inheriting less than $1 million of gains, probably will never experience what he's talked about. And I don't even think he'll get it through. But I got to run, Lila. Good question. Excellent.
Okay. Thanks, Jaime.
Thank you. We're going to go to traffic. Take it away, traffic.
Back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBS.
Yeah, one of my favorite songs when I used to be dancing a lot, you know? Mm-hmm. Used to go to the disco and thing, you know? So, one of my favorites. So, anyway, we're here on Money, Riches, and Wealth. We're on an open show, 410-922-6680, 410-922-6680. Andrew's holding on patiently, and we're going to go to Andrew in a second, but if you want to call in and ask a question, 410-922-6680, and now lines are open. That's amazing. Usually the early part of the show is quiet, and the later part of the show is when the lines get jammed up, but today it's the other way around. We were jammed up in the first half of the show, and now we're nobody's on other than Andrew here, and he's saying, when the heck are you going to come and pick up the call?
Answer my question.
Yeah, answer his question. Andrew and Bowie, are you still there?
Andrew and Bowie still here. First off, I'm still on the racetrack. Thank you for calling. Thank you for answering the phone.
You're welcome.
Thank you for talking, and thank you for talking here in Maryland.
Okay.
Sistering stations seem to talk nothing more than what happens in Virginia. So that's one hour I've got. So I do want to listen to, when I'm able. I've had to drive a little further. Just biggest thing you need to have is a bigger radio tower.
Right. Well, whatever. What can we do to help you?
Okay. A very good question.
Go ahead.
First, that last call was really good because I'm involved in an estate.
Okay.
But my question is, what if you can't save fast enough? I live, down here in Prince George's County, which is, the land of time forgot for the most part, and it seems like for about the last 10 years, I can't put money away fast enough. And I mean literally.
And you want to retire sometime in the not too distant future?
Well, look, I'm 64, right? 64 and a half right now.
Okay.
I'm not far from having my house paid off here within about the next 6 months. But the toughest part right now is I'm actively looking around for a job. I've been unemployed for about 6 months.
Okay.
And I've had to draw some money out of my IRA. I've got some money. That's in it. The problem is that for about the last 10 years, you can't save up enough.
Andrew, when I do retirement seminars, one of my slides in my retirement seminar is, how about if you can't save enough, or if you really haven't accumulated enough, and you want to retire, and you don't know how you're going to. How do you turbocharge your retirement so that you can retire? And I have an answer to that on that slide. You know what it is?
Okay. I don't know. I think it's called put some Marvel mystery oil into the bearings for the turbocharger. I'm not kidding.
No, the answer is, and it's a big word, it's called move out of the state of Maryland. And here, let me explain that to you, my friend.
It's simplistic enough. The toughest part is I have family in the area, so that's.
Is it impossible to go somewhere even remotely close, like Delaware? Would that be impossible?
It's not impossible. The toughest part is, it takes money in order to go to a different area to make the money.
Well, but here's the thing, okay? A lot of the rest of the country, especially like the western side of Delaware, is pretty economically cost effective. And you will save minimum of $5,000 a year easily just because you're not going to pay sales taxes. And I'll bet you anything, the property taxes on your house, I'd bet you you're paying at least $4,000 a year.
know, mine's actually about $3,200 for a townhouse, and it's, you know, down in, like I said, down.
All right, well, $3,200. You know what your property taxes are in Delaware? They're going to be about $800. Okay, no sales tax, and you're going to save about 25% of everything you pay in income tax. You're going to pay about 25% less in Delaware. And your property, you probably would be able to find a similar townhouse for probably 20 or 30% less in certain parts of Delaware. And so when somebody who lives in Maryland moves to a cheaper area of the country with better tax programs and so forth, they turbocharge their retirement. If, though, you're going to stay here, you've already done the good things. You've already tried to make sure that you get debt free, which is a big thing you want to do. You can consider a reverse mortgage on your house. That's something that could bring some income in for the rest of your life to help give you some income that, you know, you wouldn't have to, you know, work forever and ever. So there are things you can do if you're going to stay here. But, you know, the number one thing you're looking for is when you get a new employer, you want to make sure they have a savings plan that they're matching on. In other words, they're giving you, if you put in 3%, they put in 3% or something like that. So that's what you're going to be looking for. What's your field of work?
Well, I've had many fields of work. I can tell you that. Used to be involved in high-end swimming pools, also been a mattress business, also construction right now.
Okay.
Looking around at some trucking. The trouble is that with the way the economy's been, in fact, one of your sponsors there.
I don't have any sponsors. So well, one who's
we're our only sponsor.
Let's look at it a little different light. You had ZipRecruiter and a couple of others. You can put stuff in, and I can't answer things fast enough. Let me ask you this as a last question. What have you found in terms of homeowners tax credits come out by the state of Maryland? Have you had any kind of dealings with that? And
well, we do it all the time. And so you have to be 65 to get the tax credit. And it depends on how much you pay in property taxes, and it depends on how much your income is. So if you go and look at senior homestead tax credit under the state of Maryland, you'll see a little chart. And it'll say if your income's under this, this is the max you have to pay in property taxes. So if your income's like $30,000, I think the maximum's like $1,500 or so that you have to pay. I don't know. I don't have the chart in front of me. I'm sort of guessing on that. And so if your income's $30,000, you only have to pay $1,500. So if you're paying $3,200, you would get a $1,700 tax break. And that would take place when you turn 65. When you turn 65.
Okay.
When do you turn 65?
Yeah. How about in 6 months?
6 months. So 6 months. And, you know, maybe the homestead tax credit only requires you to be 65 in the year you apply. So you might want to look at the form and see if you have to.
At least
to,
be ready.
If you have to be ready to apply or whether you can apply now because this is the year you turn 65. I'm not sure. I don't have the form in front of me. Okay, brother?
Okay. So, all right. Thank you very much. Happy trails.
Take care. Good question. We're on an open show, and I'll tell you what, Gina and Ryan, I'm going to let you hold, if you would, please, through this pause, because if I try to go to you right now, I'm going to just frustrate my producer, and when I frustrate my producer, he does mean things to me. You would never believe what's... Look at my fingernails, Mikey. The fingernail torture he's done to me and so forth when I do bad things to him.
But in the short interim... We did want to tell people, just like that one caller called in, what you hear from friends about Biden's tax policies or this tax policy or that tax policy, unless they're a CPA, maybe double check that before you get worked up.
And not to mention that it's just talk.
Yeah.
You know,
none of them are in
politicians
place.
Politicians talk, and that's all they do is talk. But can they actually turn it into economic policy that gets passed? Because there's still 400-some House of Representatives and 100 senators and the president all have to get together and agree and pass it. And even if they do, Like Trump's tax law ends in 2026. So even if Biden did pass something, it's probably likely to end in 2031 or something right. of that sort. Anyway, Ryan and Gina, hold for us right now. We got to go to traffic. Take it away, traffic.
Hi, this is Drew Tignanelli of the Financial Consulate saying a financial advisor must have a tax planning passion. I'm appealing only to those with a net worth of more than $5 million or with taxable income of over $400,000. You are the target for higher and higher taxes. If you're in this elite club, you can no longer afford to have a financial advisor that is not passionate to minimize taxes. I'm appealing to you with income over $400,000 or a net worth greater than $5 million because you are the target and need the Financial Consulate's passion to minimize income taxes and estate taxes. Call to set up your introductory meeting, 410-823-7283 or 410-823-SAVE or online, financialconsulate.com. If your taxable income is $400,000 or more, or your net worth is over $5 million, you are the target. So call to begin your tax plan, 410-823-7283, or online, financialconsulate.com.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBS.
How come you never play They're Coming to Take Me Away either, you know? That was a great song, you know? Anyway, we're back, Money, Riches, and Wealth. We've got a couple people online, so let's go right to them, Mikey, okay?
Sounds good.
Gina in the Eastern Shore, how can we help you?
Hey, it's Tina from the Shore.
Well, we're going to call you Gina tonight because Chris insisted that you're Gina, but we'll call you Tina since you asked so nicely. Go ahead, Tina.
Quite all right. Thank you so much, and thanks for taking my call. I love your show. I just got a notice from my TSP that I over-contributed to my maximum contribution amount for 2020 by $7.94. Should I be worried about that?
No. You know, and it's amazing. It's, you know, you should rephrase that statement. Your silly payroll people over-contributed your 401k by $7 in some sense. So all that's going to happen, Tina, is you're going to get a 1099. You're going to get the $7 back in a check. You're going to get a 1099 code 8 or code P possibly. That's going to say you over-contributed of $8, and you're going to have to report it as income either on this tax return or you're going to report it on next year's tax return. That's the worst that's going to happen.
Okay, very good.
Yeah, but you know, that happens a lot, but your number is very small. Matter of fact, I had a client, we talked about it today. He got two of them in the mail, and his was for like $1,500. And I've had other clients who have gotten them, and they were for like $8,000. So, you know, and your situation was relatively simple. That was just a payroll mistake that allowed you to over-contribute the $7 or $8. In the ones that I'm talking about, it's much more complicated because in private companies, there's what's called a discrimination testing. And when you go through discrimination testing, there are all these complex rules that have to be followed. And if the highest compensated people in the company put in too much money compared to the quote unquote lower compensated people in the company, then, you know, there's a rebate you have to take because you're not allowed to as the quote unquote highest compensated person as opposed to the non-highly compensated people. So that's when it gets really complicated. In your situation, it should have been very simple. The payroll company should have made sure that you stuck at whatever. Are you over or under 50 years of age? Over. So you have the $26,000 maximum. So you did $26,007 this year. And they're going to give it back to you. That's funny. Anyway. All right, Tina. Good question.
Very good. Thank you so much.
Take care. Maybe when we call her Gina, she won't think we're as good a show as we used to.
No longer a fan. Gina's not a fan. Tina is.
Tina's still a fan. Gina's not too happy with us. Anyway, Ryan in Baltimore City, how can we help you?
Hi, good evening.
Yeah, how you doing?
Good, good. Thanks for taking my call. I'm not sure. I try to listen to you guys as often as I can. I usually work a lot of nights, but I just wanted to get kind of your guys' perspective on the sort of recent bubble that we've seen in a lot of the clean energy and solar companies. I actually got pretty lucky recently. I'm kind of new to the stock market and invested in a company. I pretty much tripled, you know, what I had invested.
Great.
300% in a month. And I think with the incoming administration, I'm just wondering if they've kind of reached their peak at this point, or if, you know, a lot of companies are starting to emerge at this point, if they're still, you know, kind of worthwhile investments at this point, or if they've kind of seen their max potential, I think.
You know, that's a fascinating question, and there is no perfect answer to that question. You know, you would have thought that Tesla would only be worth maybe $300 billion, maybe at the possible most. But, you know, markets are still buying it, and it's now a $1 trillion company now, I believe, yep. Right? Market cap of Tesla has gone over $1 trillion, hasn't it?
Yeah.
And, you know, so, you know, the answer to that question is very difficult to answer, because you really have to get your, you know, a pulse for how widely accepted are going, you know, the eco-friendly cars, as you call it. Let's call it the electric cars. You know, I've been a big advocate, and Mikey will tell you that I've been saying since 2017 that by 2025, over 50% of all cars purchased will be electric, not gas anymore. And everybody says, no, it's impossible, it's impossible, it's impossible.
But you may have overstated. It might be sooner than that.
It might be sooner than that. No, I don't think it'll be sooner than that, but it'll be close. But the reason is because you and I hopefully will admit that if I knew that there were electric charging stations easily available as there are gas stations, there is no way on earth I would ever buy another gas vehicle, period. You say, why? And the answer is, who the heck wants to go to a gas station? You tell me you like getting out of your car and sticking that stupid thing in your car?
It's cold.
And the gasoline and the potential danger of that, and then going in and getting bad coffee out of the place. I don't like that. I do it because I have to. But if I could go home and plug the dang thing in and go, you know, go back, you know.
Well, one of the plans they're proposing is that we all drive our electric cars to work, plug them in there, and they charge them with solar during the day. And then at night, we plug them in at home, and they use the battery for the solar
you know,
to take
but
it back out.
That's the beauty of it.
A lot of advantages.
You know, I'm not into the Green New Deal and all this kind of stuff. I don't want government to be involved. Because the reason is because it's perfectly logical. We're going to go renewable because it's going to be cheaper. It's going to be more efficient. It's going to be more logical. Not because government wants it to be.
But it's
not
a good thing
because
they funded the development.
Well, no, it isn't a good thing. They ruined it because Tesla could have brought the price of their car down 15 years ago if it wasn't for stupid credits that government gave out to people. And government will always think that they are the reason that this happened or that happened, but their credits and all the goofy things they give, it gives incentives to companies like Tesla to charge $85,000 for their car when they could have sold their car for $25,000 or something like that. And, you know, but government thinks they're so wonderful, but they're absolutely in the way of the free market actually being more efficient.
So what do you think about solar stocks?
What do I think about solar stocks? I think that my point is that you have to understand the solar companies you own. You have to understand who the winners are going to be. You have to understand how quickly it's going to take place. And then you have to make your bets, you know. And Tesla is clearly proven to be a survivor, even though there are many people who didn't think they were ever going to get beyond $100 billion in market cap, let alone $1 trillion. And so I'm not going to sit here and tell you, Ryan, that I can predict what's going to happen. You just have to better understand the companies you're owning. And if you can pick the winners, you could hold them for 10, 15 years, possibly, you know. But
I found interesting actually today was even after Biden's speech, the whole which is a weird thing about obviously the stock market is the entire sector of clean energy companies just took a huge drop today.
Well, sure, of course, because again, government thinks they're beneficial. And they aren't beneficial. If they stay out of the way, the clean energy stocks would just keep doing what they're doing and bringing the prices down. But the more government wants to come in and throw money at it, the more that the green energy companies will just soak the gravy up off of the gravy train. That's what you do as a company, you know? I mean, if the financial consulate could get the government to give us PPP loans for the rest of our lives, we didn't take a PPP loan, first off, but if they were willing to give us PPP loans, we wouldn't work probably as hard because we're making too much money. The government just giving us, you know, cash. And that's the stupidity of government. They just don't understand it, though. But anyway, don't get me started. All right, Ryan. Good question.
Thanks so much.
I wish I could have answered his question better.
I think you forgot his question halfway through.
You know, but it's not an answer you can easily just say, you know, sell, it's a bubble. It's not a bubble. It's reality. Anyway, yep. I got to go. This Drew Tignanelli thing, God bless. Love with love. Show them the way you feel. Things are going to be